This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. Brian Berkowitz here from New York with my buddy.
And Rich Baum from beautiful Sacramento, California. And I'm hanging out in Mexico, but I'm still from Sacramento, California.
So. Exactly. What's going on, Rich? All's well?
All
beautiful weather down there.
Great. I see you. Actually, I'm looking out my window and I wish I could turn the camera around and show you, but it's beautiful. Things are going well. I'm chilling out. I'm still, you know, commuting back and forth from Sacramento to Baja, but it is really nice. I'm getting in the spirit though, to the Mexican spirit, the Baja spirit, but I'm getting into getting ready for the holidays. And as business has slowed down,
you know, your commute from Mexico to Sacramento,
not every
day, probably
though.
It's probably the same as my 17-mile commute into New York City.
I just need a train though to take me there.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's good. And what you been up to, man?
Same old shooting. You know, it's holiday time, so things slow down a little, but it's all good. All good. Gearing up for 2022.
I hope you can tell us about that little thing you did with their buddy, Vince, but we'll talk about that later, maybe.
Yeah, that was last week. I'm glad to talk about it. That was an exciting time. Yeah. But let's get into it because we got tons to talk about. So, Rich, why don't you do the honors of introducing our guest today?
Yeah, well, I've been doing this about my YouTube channel and my groups and everything for about 7 or 8 years now. And once I got rolling, there was this guy out there in the internet stratosphere who was also teaching. And it was kind of cool because we started teaching kind of the same kind of thing. And we're kind of different, but we're very much the same. And I think it's a lot to do with the same principles and stuff. The really good stuff, I think we're the same on. And that is to do with our new guest. Or actually, he's an old guest because he's been on before, but Nathan Cool from California. I want to welcome Nathan Cool. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing? Glad to be here.
Yeah. What's up, Nathan? Great. And thanks for coming on. Before we really dive in and get to the nitty gritty, I just want to give a quick word from our sponsors and then we're just going to jump right into it. I'm going to start with HD Photo Hub. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography businesses. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious admin time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so much more. Check out hdphotohub.com to find out more. And with that out of the way, Nathan, welcome.
Well, glad to be here, Brian.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
I was looking earlier today because I knew you were on a long time ago, and I wasn't quite sure exactly how long, but you were on our fifth episode ever. This is, I think,
oh my gosh,
this is 145.
Wow.
February 6th, 2018. So just shy of 4 years ago.
I can't believe
it. Makes you feel young, doesn't it, Nate?
Man, time has just flown by so fast. Yeah. You guys have done a great job since then. Just amazing. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, episode 5, I mean, we had no idea what we were even doing, if this was even going to be a thing or anything like that. I think you are our second guest ever, right behind Sam Chen, And I think at that point, Rich, it was still just an idea, the podcast, and we didn't know where it was going to be. I mean, we recorded 5 episodes, but like it was just a little blimp of an idea. And, you know, I guess 4 years later, we're still going strong with not only the podcast, everything we're doing now. So thanks for coming back. Thanks for willing to come back with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you betcha. I'm glad to be here. Yeah, this is the subject I love to talk about, real estate photography. So
it's funny how we, you know, it's kind of like, and I know you're the same, Nathan and Brian too. We live it. We love it. I mean, I'm out here, not on vacation, but kind of on vacation. And I still think about photography all the time. I am shooting down here and, I'm doing, you know, real estate. And the one thing I want to say is that I tell people when people ask me, what do I do, this and that? And I talk, oh, I got a podcast. What's your podcast about? I go, yeah, it's about, real estate photography. And I go, yeah, it's a real thing. You know, I tell people that, you know, it is a lot harder than people think. It takes a lot more little tips and tricks. And, you know, that's not to be negative, tips and tricks. I think those are always handy, but it is something that is real. And there are hundreds of thousands of people out there that are trying to learn and grasp what can make them better. And, you know, it's a great thing. So why don't you tell the people that aren't familiar with, I can't imagine anybody's not familiar with you, but what give us the 2 minute or the 30-second elevator pitch.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I've been doing photography since I can remember. I mean, it was a love that I had. My brother was into it. He had a dark room in the basement of our house when I was 6 years old. He gave me my first film camera. So I was always into it, but it was one of those, the barrier to entry was always really high in the film world to do anything. And then what do you do with photography? You know, the big thing was, well, if you want to be able to afford your camera gear, you go into weddings, you do portraits, something like that. When I found real estate photography, everything just clicked. And from the day that happened, I could still remember the day it happened. It's like my mind has been every day when I wake up, there's something in my head about real estate photography. And it led to so many other things because I found through all the photography that I've done is I think real estate has become the most challenging because it's got more technical aspects to it than most people realize. And with that, then it leads to something else a little off topic, but we could talk about later if you'd like, but where I think that people have this give up approach because once they hit a certain point, they start kind of regressing back. Well, it's okay. This is fine. But if you really want to pursue photography, if you really love photography, right? And like us, we get our cameras when we're young, we progress throughout life. If you don't want to regress at any point. So I think that's why I love the idea of teaching. It has to be more than one out there. I mean, I watched your videos, Rich, originally, and some of the stuff was just like so eye-opening. And I started sharing it with some of my stuff and still to this day. And that's where there's always room to learn, right? And it's the most important thing where you can get a manual for your camera, right? You can learn how to use your shutter speed and your ISO and maybe use a little bit of flash here and there. But boy, when it really comes to doing pro work and especially real estate, man, there's some unique challenges that require some education on that part.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but a lot of my best coaching students are established photographers, and some of them are big time landscape photographers, wildlife photographers. They get an opportunity to shoot a, you know, and usually it's a $1 to $2 million house, and they go and, oh, no problem. They go in and they shoot it, and they're the ones that know. They go, oh my God, I need some, this is not good. I need help. And then they seek out coaching. But it is something that, and the sad part is, because if you're going to give up on real estate photography because it's tough, well, that's the problem, because you've probably given up on weddings because they're solidly filled up and they're tough. You've given up on sports because that's tough. And you go, oh, I'm going to do, how hard could real estate be? And then I'm going to give up on that. Well, I don't know what's below it. Maybe working at JCPenney's and shooting portraits. Maybe that's it. Yeah. Well, we're one step above JCPenney's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're going around doing school pictures. And there's, you know, there's bread and butter work. Like I go to corporate offices still and I'll bring a portable backdrop and I'll do headshots, bring them in. And I feel like I'm that school photographer, but you know, there's bread and butter there, but man, the real estate thing was so unique. My photography overall, I think, progressed the most once I got into real estate because I saw everything completely different. I was now shooting a subject that was the size of a house and the inside of the house and all the challenges that went along with that. And it wasn't just me looking at the picture and going, oh, this is great. I'm going to share this, or I'm going to print this. I'm going to put it on a wall, or I'm going to try to sell this somehow. It was discerning clients that had to have something that looked good enough to change the psychology of a potential buyer where millions of dollars were on the line. And so there was a new type of feedback that came in that put me on edge, where it's like, this has to be better there. This has to be better there. And somebody's going to come along and eat my lunch once they figure that out. So I got to be better over here and doing that. And that led me down kind of a rabbit hole. So I was, and as you know, I was an engineer for about 30 years. And during the last 10 years of that part of the career, I was doing photography part-time. And then eventually switched because it was like, well, I have to, what am I going to do? I'm too busy doing real estate photography, whatever. So eventually, you know, I changed into real estate photography. But So I'm so glad I did that. But the fact is, and the reason I bring that up is there was an approach that I always had because I did a lot of research and development work over the years. And part of that research development was building prototypes. How do you dig into this? What do you do about this? What do you do about that? And it's like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to figure this out. I don't care if I have to stay up all night. I don't care if I have to schedule myself for the weekend to figure this out. I'm going to set up some tests. I'm going to do this, da, 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 da. And I think a lot of people in general don't do that. It, take my brother, for instance. He loves photography, loves it. He lives down in San Diego. He does nature photography. Got himself an Alpha One, by the way. Just love this camera. So that's he's really into it. And he will continue to go back to the exact same place over and over again until he gets the lighting right, the wildlife comes out at a certain time for feeding just right. And he'll do this over and over again until finally he'll get one picture that took him maybe 20 trips way out to someplace to finally get it. And that was kind of that persistence where, you know, we were talking about people regressing where, well, things just aren't good enough. You know, well, okay, you tried it once. You're a great professional photographer. You went in to shoot a home. Ah, this was too hard. Maybe I'll just do HDR. I heard that's easy. Well, why not just make it happen? If you're going to be a pianist, you know, and you sat down, you tried to do, you know, Chopin. It's like, well, I didn't get it right the first time. Maybe I'll just play chopsticks. It just doesn't work that way. If you want to get good at something, you really progress. You really try, right?
Well, I think the problem in our industry, talking about regression, is that some of the rates for real estate photography are so low that people lose the enthusiasm to try and get better.
The incentive.
Exactly. Right. And right. I don't know what the best way to fix that. I don't know if there is a way to fix that, but you know, it happened to me. I'll be honest. When I was shooting primarily residential real estate, and it's not an issue for me anymore because I don't shoot so much residential real estate. So when I do it, I get that urge back and the creativity bug. But when I was shooting it full time, it's like the rates are so low that it's like, all right, I just want to get in and out as quick as I can, just be done with it as quick as I can, because I'm not making that much money and I have to get to the next one so I can, you know, shoot five or six of these to make a decent living. So I feel like that's kind of a catch 22 that the real estate photographers are stuck in with that regression. You just try to, you know, it's not so much creativity versus a job, if that makes sense.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that too, is there's kind of an overgeneralization in that realm where all realtors are cheap, all jobs are cheap type of thing, where there's kind of a something that fits within a general rule where it's like you shoot to the customer expectations for something that you're doing. You know, when we talk about, you know, doing this flash ambient, flambient blending thing, you know, that confuses so many people when they first try to use lighting. It takes them forever to do it.
But well, you mean flambient?
Flambient.
Hashtag flambient. This is for my buddy Sam Chen. Flatulence.
Yeah. Flambient.
Anyway, I'm a big fan of saying the word I can say it. I can say it. Flambient. Anyway.
Flambient.
Flash ambient blend. Anyway, that's what we agree on. Okay.
But with that, it becomes so difficult to where, you know, people don't realize you're putting too much time and effort into it. You're shooting a 3+2 that's going to go for half the price. It hasn't been updated for 20 years. You don't have to get extreme detail for this, but you have to make it. And this is my rule for some of this, for the simpler ones, it has to look better than the alternative. And the alternative might be the agent going in with a cell phone. It might be someone just doing some quick HDR. So can it be better than that? And can you price yourself then competitively for that? And then there's a whole bunch of stuff that I do with that. I even shoot mobile homes. And then they have me shooting jobs. People will call me up to do Santa Monica, Pacific Palisades, tear down brand new builds in Tarzana that, you know, just these monstrosity homes, you know, that are decked to the nines that they'll pay, you know, thousands of dollars every month just to keep them staged until they sell it, you know, so complete, you know, to the walls, to the nines. And then these are just like, oh yeah, they're just throwing money at you. Take whatever time you need. And they just leave you in there and doing some of these houses. So there was like a different aspect, you know, to where are we going to be doing a $200 shoot or are we going to be doing a $1,500 day? You know, type of thing. And so that's where it's like, yeah, there's this compromise thing where if you know all the limits that you have with the tools that you have, you can make a better decision on then how you want to progress through your career, what the market you want to target. And it reminds me of a South Park episode many years ago. It was called the World of Warcraft episode. And the boys, the South Park boys, could not win in the game World of Warcraft because there was this guy that kept defeating them. The only way they could get enough points is to go into the forest and kill these boars, which were like no points at all. So they had to calculate out that they had to kill like 10,000 boars to get enough points. And to do that, they have to get no sleep for like 7 days and play 24 hours a day, all of them constantly. So, but eventually they did, they got enough points and they won. So in a lot of ways, when you first start out doing any type of photography, you got to go out after the boars. You have to go out and get the low hanging fruit, the points, and you're not going to make money, but you're going to get an investment of your time to know how to do better stuff and how to do stuff eventually faster. No skill comes overnight the first time you go in. And like you said, Rich, you know, a lot of these pros will go in, they'll try it. They've been shooting a long time. They know photography, they know cameras, they know software, but immediately trying to say, well, you know, I just can't do that. And they regress. It's like, well, no, stick with it and try to find an alternative. Try to find a path that works better, you know, for you.
Yeah. And I want to say one thing to accompany what you were saying, and this is really out there for those people that are in the point of going to the low hanging fruit. And this is really the same. A lot of what we teach and a lot of what I teach and you teach, and I know you teach, Brian, but it is very similar and transferable to all business. A lot of what we teach is it's not just unique to real estate photography. It's unique. It's not unique to anything. It's business. What right. you got to do is you got to look at, though, you got to not look at with blinders, I say it. I mean, how many times you heard this in the group? Well, the amount of time it's taking me and the amount of money I made, I might as well be working at McDonald's. I'd be making more money. Well, that's true, but you can't look at it that way through a straw. You've got to look at the big picture. What's available and what is my end goal? And as you're saying, yes, you do assess, I do assess each job as an individual, each client as an individual. I don't have a thing that goes across the board. I think that's a big problem if you have just right. one price list for everything. Right. But I think of what can I get out of it? And in, am I going to, if I get better and produce better work, it's going to take me more time now, and I'm going to make less money if I'm looking at it that way. But eventually, I can see a light at the end of the tunnel, and that tunnel is forever because it will keep getting up and up. And as you do, Brian, now you're doing what you do, and that's kind of like this progression. Not everybody wants to do that. Some people want to just shoot 10 houses a day, and they're happy doing that, shooting for somebody else. But most people I find don't lose sight of a goal. Don't lose sight that you could be making a lot more money. You could be one of those guys like you, me, or Brian, making more money, having better clients. But it takes a little bit of time. But yeah. it really takes you getting good at your craft, which is yeah. involved with all this education, getting yeah. really good at it. Don't limit yourself to HDR because, again, I'm not putting down HDR. I shoot HDR every so often now. Mm-hmm. But I will say, learn how to do the proper lighting with lighting and learn everything that you can because you want to pull out those tricks when you have an appropriate situation. You have right. a situation going, I've got this beautiful house, which I can make more money from this particular agent. I'm going to learn a lot on this shoot. I'm going to have portfolio material, and I'm going to be able to post it on Facebook and Instagram and possibly get higher end clients. So don't yep. look at it like that, like with your little tube. You're only looking at a little possibility. Look at it as a great career and big a picture. Great opportunity, a big picture.
Yeah. Right. Literally. Yep.
That's how you have to do it. I mean, I'm sure, Rich, I know you and I have both done this, and I'm sure you too, Nathan. When you're starting out, you know, I did free shoots for many people. And I know there's a lot of advocates that say never shoot for free, but I say you need to learn. And, you know, it's hard to get somebody to pay you to learn on their dime. Mm-hmm. So when you're starting out, you have to go out and learn somehow or another and get, you know, real world training. And, you know, if you're looking to do some real estate, go out and just shoot. The more you shoot, the more you're going to learn. The more techniques you're going to try, the more you're going to learn, and just go out and do it.
Oh, yeah. And as your buddy, Barry Grossman, right, our guest, that said, make your own luck. You know, was it him who said that? Who said make your own luck?
I'm not sure.
Is it Che or anyway, make your own luck. Be in the right place at the right time. Make your own opportunities. Get gregarious. Get out there. But the bottom line is, you've got to, which I want to lead into our next section. You've got to have the chops. You've got to know the techniques. You've got to be able to get there. And how do you get there, guys? You get there with education, with learning, and with because we work alone usually. And how do you learn? Well, you go on YouTube. One thing I want to say about YouTube, and I'd like your opinion, Nathan, is YouTube has got so many people teaching so much stuff where it's very, it can be confusing, it can be intimidating, and it can lead to actually making it can be counterproductive. What do you think about all the new education and all the new techniques and things? Because my stuff's kind of basic and I've been doing the same thing for 8 years, but what do you think about that?
You know, it's a great question, because one of the things that used to frustrate me so much until actually I found your channel, which was why I subscribed right away, was because there's a lot of wrong information out there. So it's still today, even stuff that people will talk about with raw files, that is so completely wrong, or when it comes to color. And so it leads up to talk about, I'm sure, with my latest book. But one of the things was that drove that was there is so much misinformation. And then what happens is today there's too much parroting. There's too much where somebody copies and pastes someone else. That's the way news is nowadays. That's the way blogs are nowadays. And then there's even people out there today teaching like flamboyant, and they're even using the wrong terms. For instance, you know, they'll start talking about lighting. I remember this one individual, I've seen his videos, and he talks, well, I put my anchor light here. Well, there's no such thing. If you ever worked in lighting, you know, the one that's closest to your camera, that's your key. Well,
you've got an anchor and a key. There's two things, but they're wrong.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, you got your key light, and then we're going to use our fill light for
anchor
composites.
Lighting. I like that.
Anchor lighting. Yeah. It's something on a boat, I guess, but it's where, it's like you're leading, because one thing is, it's not just real estate photography, it's photography. If you can get real estate photography, you can do a lot of other stuff. It reminds me, my parents had me learn piano my whole life. My grandfather was a piano teacher, long story there. But the thing was, they told me, if you can learn this, because it's like, I want to play guitar. It's like growing up, it's like chicks don't care about guys that play piano. They want a guy that plays guitar. So, but they said, if you want to play guitar, learn how to play piano. Because you can play any instrument, learn any instrument from there, because it's so difficult. And real estate photography was one of those things. It's like, if I can learn real estate photography, even if I wasn't really going to use it full time, the breadth of knowledge that I'd get by doing that would lead to so many other things than it has. Like I said, my photography in general has improved greatly since I got into real estate photography, from everything, not just headshots, not just doing some of my art projects, but also the nature stuff that I do. For instance, I now, when I go hiking, I also have a 360 camera with me. I'm using a DSLR and a little homemade pano head that I made that I can use. I got a nice nodal point on it. Because it's like, I've learned these things that have just improved everything that I want to do, taking it to another level, you know, starting with the root of real estate photography. But what's out there in the University of YouTube, oh my gosh, it's just too much information, and a lot of it just isn't right. A lot of it's
the more you learn, the less you know, as is very common on the internet. Yep. And I'm not putting down other people by any means, and sure. I'm not saying that what I'm teaching is the best way, right. But I do believe what I think I've latched on to is the ability to help people that are at the beginning and the intermediary to try and really find that happy, that make your day, make that happy ground where you can produce a good thing, material. It's like, let the ambient do the heavy lifting. Sure, you take all that time to put lights in every room or to do pops or whatever, and that's going to produce something better, but at what cost? Are you going to be able to keep it all together and incorporate those, or do you break it down and keep it real simple? So, you know,
and know when to use the different techniques, like we were saying earlier, you know,
bag of tricks, like, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pulling that shit out all the time. Oh, I said the S word. Ridgebaum said the S word. Anyway, I pull out, I've been recently doing a lot of really big shoots. This year was a big year for less shoots, but really, really big challenging shoots. And I had to pull out these things, and they're priceless. And you know, part of it is you do learn these things things, but a lot of it is you've just got to get out there. The more houses you shoot, the more opportunity you have to try all these different scenarios, because every house is the same. I mean, all houses are basically houses with this room and this room and this room, but each one you've got parameters of size, of color of walls, this and that, things like that. And it's just the more you shoot, the more tricks you have and what you can do. So listen, well, before we go on, and I want to, the next step is going to be to talk about your projects, Nathan, but I would like to just say for just a second, do a little pitch for my buddies over at iGun. Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from a click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGuide camera system. Get your first 5 standard iGuides up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code shooting spaces in the referral section at camera purchase. So you be sure to go to visit, I'm sorry, go visit goiguide.com to learn more. That's goiguide.com to learn more. And with that said, I'd like to just say, Nathan, so tell us, you know, this is a second opportunity to do an elevator pitch. You've been an educator and you have a very flourishing, and actually I was talking to you before the show, you're putting out a lot more stuff than I've been putting out. I guess you're just more motivated or something, but because, as you know, there's a lot of work to put out and there are a lot of work to keep going, those videos, but you've done a few other things. So tell us about what you've been doing, your other channels of education, and what is coming out right away. Right now you got a new thing, so tell us about that.
So I've been a little bit more motivated. It comes and goes at times on what to do with putting out new videos and whatnot. Sometimes there's a gap, but I also, there would be a lot of questions, so I'd come up with instruction manuals, just basic instruction manuals, the real estate photography series. Recently, the last couple of years with the pandemic, besides those books, they're all available on Amazon or on my website, nathancoolphoto.com. But I also came out with on basic videography and also on virtual tours, because there was a big need for that when the pandemic broke. But as I started going, working with more people, and I started having more clients coming to me for photography coaching, I saw that there was a huge gap that was just in general across photography, and it had to do with color. So what I wanted to do was to delve into this, and people take so much for granted. And this is where we get into that regression part where it's like, you futz with this, you futz with that, and it's good. Eventually you start convincing yourself that what you're seeing is good, but it's not. So what I did was I came out with another book called Mastering Color in Photography, right? A simple approach to professional results. And this one's it's a bit thick. it's about 300 pages. And it covers a lot. I mean, this was a huge project where it's not just do this, it's not just an instruction manual, and it's not about necessarily color science. It's a mix of all that so you can kind of understand what you're really up against. And if you know those principles of color and how they relate to your camera, editing software, our human vision, our perception, and the illusions that we see from it, how then we can actually take even a mathematical approach to figuring it out. Here's a great example. Everybody can relate to this. You have Lightroom and you have two sliders that you love to use, vibrance and dehaze. And if you notice, they're a little bit different. But quite honestly, if you dig into the algorithms behind them, they should lock each other. If you use one, you probably shouldn't use the other, because they both work off of the fact that you want to be able to saturate muted colors, but in the dehaze, depending on what software, not just Lightroom, but other software packages will have this for editing, is that they'll take into account albedo of the atmosphere. So they try to take into a known value of atmospheric haze that has certain particulate matter. So it really does a good job for dehazing a sky. But then if you really want to add color to it, you could start distorting colors where vibrance says, no. We've got this color that we want to bring out. So let's make that a little bit more vibrant. Using dehazing correctly on non-sky areas could. So very simple thing on that. But also, here's a great one on flambient, for instance. one of the things that confuses people on using luminosity mode at times, right? And there's times to use normal mode, whatever. But if you wanted to use luminosity to retain the color underneath, what does that really do with color? Because most people think in RGB. Well, you got red, you got green, you got blue. We bring up a color picker. We see those values and we put those in. But color actually has three primary elements, and that falls off of HSB, which is hue, saturation, brightness. And so there's models that are used today on every web page that you go to on the internet. They're using today HSB or something similar to that, where you can just change hue and saturation. But then when you change the brightness of a value or its luminance in HSL, once you do that, you have a completely different RGB value. And to try to figure that out with futzing with RGB, if you're doing that using any type of color correction, you're never going to get correct. So it's things like that where it's like, if you know some of those underlying principles and you see then what they relate to in your camera on and in software, then it becomes easier. Like, oh, that's why this is it. I need to correct this, not that. I need to correct my highlights, for instance, before I start adjusting some of my vibrance, because I'm not going to hit the right type of saturation or hue because of a brightness affecting what's going to be detected by an algorithm of being a muted color. So there's things like that that break out. This is what we're really up against. And some of the big unknowns, like working in Lightroom, everybody's like, well, Lightroom, it's Adobe, it's specific. It's not showing you the true colors. It's working in Profoto RGB, right? It's not working in sRGB like Photoshop would be. You can specify your working color space. You're working in a color space that 13% of its colors are mathematical and imaginary. They can't even be percepted. They're only done by formula. That's how wide the gamut is on Profoto RGB. So knowing that if you're going to work in that and you're going to try to do clipping validation, or you're going to try to do soft proofing, you're doing soft proofing against an imaginary color space. So that isn't the most accurate way. So I show, for instance, not just proper clipping validation using methods in Photoshop that you can do, but also saturation validation, which is important. And also then your soft proofing. So many people, for instance, skip saturation validation. They didn't even think, oh, I'm oversaturated here. Am I? Well, is that bad? And is clipping bad? Because clipping comes right down to it. It's either, it just means that something's white or something's black. That's all that it is. But yet you go out on so many of these, the University of YouTube, and it's like, oh, your clipping indicator's on. You need to bring down this and do that and do that. And it's like, yeah, not always.
It's just a reference to help you to make the right choice. But in the end, it's all subjective. And what you and your client, because now we're also dealing with clients, in real estate, it's what you and your client agree on.
Right.
Clarification of expectations, right there, Brian?
That's it. Exactly.
I love it.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry, I just got to break in one more thing, because what you just spit out there, Nathan, what you put out there for people, I'm sure so many people are going, I can't even go there because that's too complicated, way beyond what I need. And that's even for me, I'm looking at it that way. Tell us something about, and this was not prearranged, this is not an infomercial for your work, but tell me, how do you think that someone that is, like I just said, someone that is intimidated by it, going, I'm having trouble even learning how to hook up my trigger to my camera and my lights, how is that going to make it more sensible and easy? Is this easy to digest and to really understand?
A non-scientific approach.
Absolutely. So it's definitely a progression. That's why the book is pretty thick. So what it does is it stays away from the formulas and the algorithms themselves and only mentions them in passing as we start progressing through the book, starting out with what a color space is, what color spaces look like, what hue and saturation really are, in very, very simple terms. And then it just progresses up from there. And then it brings it back to where people can relate to certain things in their camera. For instance, one of the things that people don't realize is how ISO and shutter speed and aperture can have an effect on color. Well, once you know where those are and you can set those and you learn a few side effects of those, then you can start delving into color. And that's what the book does. It starts pulling you into that. So it's like, well, let's start with this. Let's take a look at your camera. And these are the settings that you're using. Now, try this. For instance, one of the things I show is ISO invariance. And immediately people are going to go, whoa, you just said some 20 letter word there. And, but the thing is, I build up to that and actually show you how to test it step by step on your camera to see if your camera is close to being ISO invariant. And then knowing that, what the side effects are for color and for your tonal range and compression of your dynamic range. And those are things that are stepped through that by the time you get to that section, you've already covered everything that I just talked about. So it's definitely a progression through that. If you're still having problems with setting up triggers or working on composition, need to take baby steps to kind of get that first, you know? But once you work into it, this has been designed as a book to where it's like, you can, in passing, read a little bit here, read a little bit there, use it as a reference guide to go back to. It also covers, for instance, the various software that's out there. So a whole list of stuff, even Corel, and how some of these software packages might excel over others. And then principles of cameras that are sold today. So that, yeah, I cover a whole bunch, but it's the principles of them, things to look for, also with lenses, little terminology that's used on lenses that will affect color. For instance, most people have no idea what the quality of glass is or what coatings are on their lenses and how that affects, you know, they think, and even people that do know about coatings on lenses might think, oh, chromatic aberration, but there's so much more to it. And then more so, depending on how you're going to use the lens, do you need to have the most expensive lens on the market? Because outside is going to have a whole array of different colors than what you have on the inside of a house, especially most houses today that have muted white or gray colors, right? Do you need to have the highest quality of glass and coatings on that compared to when you're going outside and shooting some other stuff? So there's principles like that that help along to know what gear you might want to invest in on what they can provide you in the way of color and quality.
This is more of a theoretical book, not geared specifically towards real estate photography, but photography in general, correct?
Right. Exactly. So I show some real estate examples in there. I show some portrait examples in there, some landscape examples. So it kind of covers a whole range just so you can apply that any principle to just about any genre of photography that you might be working
with. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing none of these theories apply, I'm saying, to portrait, wedding, anything you're shooting. Yeah. It doesn't change the fact that how the color algorithms work and all that. So
absolutely. Yep.
All right, cool. So we're going to post a link in the show notes to this book if anybody's interested. And you said you showed us the book before, but 300 plus pages. So that's pretty amazing and a lot to digest for any photographer, but you know, I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed. But besides for that, you also do have real estate photography books that you've come out with before as well, correct?
Right. So I've got some smaller books that are on interior photography, lighting guide, exterior photography. I've got a book on shot lists, which is just a whole bunch of here. This is what you'd shoot if you go through a house, give you some ideas on what to do there. I got a book on business techniques if you're starting out doing real estate photography as a business, some things to consider. And then, of course, I've recently mentioned the book on videography, basic videography, and then doing virtual tours as well.
Wow. And those are all... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to ask, those are all available through Amazon too or directly on your website?
Yeah. So all my books are distributed. They come in ebook format and also print, but I always recommend the ebook format because the print price is ridiculous. It's all through Amazon, but I have links on my website. But yeah, the print price, because being a photography book, I need to print in a higher like textbook quality color. And so the price goes real high. So I recommend to everybody just get the ebook. Plus the ebooks have jump links. You can keep going through because they're reference manuals, a lot of them. And then also to external things. So you can, you want to catch a little video on this, or you need to see where this gear is. You know, you can jump out, you know, to those as well. But yeah, they're all on Amazon. They're my sole distributor, but I do have links to all of them on my website, NathanCoolPhoto.com.
Cool. And we'll post links to all that stuff in the show notes.
Cool.
But for an old timer like me, man, I there's something about photography books, paper books, that actually are worth the money to me, because they are just something that you can, you don't have to be online to read them. You can always read them and you can stop and go to the next. It's so much simpler in a way. And I feel kind of bad that the books have gone such out of fashion, you know, but anyway. And how's your YouTube channel going, Nathan? How many subscribers you got now? Yeah, I think you got way more than me.
I got like 55,000.
Yeah, and I'm only 35, man.
Well, I'm still just a small, for some of these influencers out there, you can just be making some crazy TikTok videos and have a million subscribers, right?
But we are doing real estate photography. It's a tiny, small genre.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to say too about your books, your book, especially the lighting book or the color book, is that these are principles that can be applied to all photography. I think that it's really important. And also all to understand the algorithms and the things that make up Lightroom and Photoshop and all these parameters. And like, I know that I love dehaze, but you can use it sparingly, because you can completely overdo, as well as we all know, overdo your saturation and overdo everything. So just, you know, it's really good to understand and then go into it yourself and make it your own, make it your own look, make it the thing that works for you. Because everything, when we do presets are not the, you just don't push a preset and do it. That is a starting point to get to save you time from moving 10 sliders every time. But then you have to tweak each time. You have to tweak your preset to make it your own for that particular situation.
So. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize, like, oh, whites, it seemed to brighten it. The black slider did this. It's like, you're not really understanding what's happening on the tonal range. If you really did, before you touch that slider, you would think twice, but you'd know how to use it properly. Instead of just playing with it, because then, you know, it's a moving target. Wait a minute, I just brought do I need to do this to highlights? Do I need to do this to clarity? What's clarity? What should I do? Now, I'm watching another YouTube video and he's saying I should use a curves layer. It's like, well, what should I do? It's like, well, if you understand what each does, right, just from the high level, which is what this book covers, then you get a better understanding. Is this the right tool for the job? Should I use that slider? Should I do something else? And, you know, and Lightroom too is starting to become such a bloat, you know, with, it's like, you still have a brush. You have a whole masking panel. I just wanted to use a brush, man. What happened? So eventually I can see where this is headed, you know, with it, where, you know, they changed the whole thing. They used to have HSL panel, or no, it was a split toning. I think they changed it into their color grading panel.
Yep, exactly.
It's like, so I show in the book, for instance, like, you want to do color grading? You really want to know what that is? That's a term that's totally misused, because it's color between the gradients of the tonal range. It's like, if you want to do that, man, Photoshop has some easy snap to it tools that can do this. It's futzing around with it in Lightroom is just, that's enough to pull your hair out. That's what happened to me. It was because of the color grading. I'm bald for a reason. But it was those type of things.
It's the key to not losing your hair. Use Photoshop, not Lightroom for color.
Exactly. Exactly. You want to keep your hair? Use Photoshop, not Lightroom. But there's a lot of free tools out there too, that no matter what tool you use, because there's some other great tools out there. It isn't just Adobe products that are out there. But if you know what tools do what and what names are similar then to what they're providing, you can then make a decision on how you want to edit it. Oh, something doesn't have clarity. Oh, I'd never use this program because it doesn't have a clarity slider. That's just mid-tone contrast. Throw in some curves. You can fix that real easy. Knowing just those principles then can make you a decision that can also save your budget. You want to buy a program that costs you $100 for a lifetime compared to $120 a year? Doesn't have a clarity slider? Yeah, you can work around it.
Cool. I got a question for you, Nate. Well, I guess for both of you, for that matter, because you are two YouTube legends I'm in the midst of over here. I was just looking while you were chatting, and you guys combined have like just under 100,000 subscribers, which is pretty insane for a real estate photography niche. But how do you find, because I know this is something, Rich, you and I struggle with all the time, putting out content. How do you find the inspiration to keep producing more content and come up with, unique content that people want to watch and people want to learn from?
Yeah.
Is it just typical everyday shooting and you're like, oh, I had this issue, everyone else must have this issue, or does it go deeper?
Yeah, a lot of it for me has been questions that were posed. And when enough people ask the same question, then I knew there was an interest in it. And they say there's two types of knowledge, that you know, and that you can find. And so a lot of times it's like, well, I might have to dig into this a little bit more. Once I did, I educated myself, then I'd like to be able to share this, you know, for what that is. So some of it was just, you know, ear to the rail, you know, what people were saying on that. And then also when I would have an aha moment, it's like, man, if that just saved me a whole bunch of time and money, I'll bet you someone else would like to know that too.
Cool. Is it same way for you, Rich? Is it similar?
Yeah. Well, for me, it really is a matter of very often while I'm shooting, I am thinking to myself, you know, this is something that I'm a teacher. I like talking. I like talking to people. I like helping people. It actually makes me feel better inside if I can help somebody else. It's done for spoiled reasons. It's selfish reasons. But I have found that I will be shooting a house and I'll do something and I'll go, you know what? That would make a really good subject. Or I'll be editing. And I'll look at this going, you know what? I bet a lot of people are struggling with this and I could do that. So I'll put notes down. And again, I haven't been producing a lot lately this year. But as I always say, next year will be better, but maybe not with the new course came out. But I just think that there's so many opportunities that I come across going, you know what? This trick or tip took me several years to find out, or 7 years to find out. And I'm going to try and share that with people to help them make their life easier, better. And, you know, and just to simplify the whole process, to demystify it, because as I always say, Nathan, I think you'll agree, if we can do it, you can do it. We're not these magical photographers that have these backgrounds and whatever. We're just guys with cameras that have latched on to some abilities to figure things out. And a lot of that from people teaching me things like darken mode doing window pulls in light and in darken mode. It's just something that someone taught me and then I took it and ran with it, but I'm not taking the credit for it, but it's certainly, I'm there to help people and to help them better understand. And then the bottom line is to be more successful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a certain component too, that I'm sure, Rich, you've probably felt this too, that you'd see somebody who spent a lifetime in a house, that's time for them to sell it. And they're being represented by someone who's going to take cell phone pictures. And it's like, you know, somebody really deserves to have that shot very well. A lot of times, a lot of these homes, people will want to save those pictures of their home, right? It's not just for just to sell the house, right? So there's part of it too, where it's like, you know, people take pride in it too. They really want to be represented with crappy work.
Well, it's like you said, you just have to be better than the alternative.
Yes, exactly.
So, although that could cause trouble, and I don't want to get back into it. That could cause some regression in the long run, because you know you're better than the alternative. But let's not get back into that. But anyway, Nathan, I want to thank you for coming on. Hopefully we didn't scare too many people if we got a little scientific. but I think that just helps, because it shows that there's a lot more to what we do than just picking up a camera and shooting. And you know, learning the science behind what we do is only going to make anybody a better photographer in the long run. So right. People should definitely go in and learn as much as they can about color and light theory, I guess, using your book. And it's only going to help them both on site and in editing.
Yeah. And even if there's just one thing you pull out of it, you're going to get this one amazing picture and go, that's why it didn't work the last time. Now you'll know.
Well, you know, I say that to a lot of people all the time. You know, we sell a lot of educational material. Rich and I have the courses now, and people are like, well, this is what I do. Will this help me? And I said, you know what? Rich's course is 6 hours. Mine's a little over 3. And I say, you know what? If you get one little thing out of it that helps you going forward, that you utilize on every shoot, then it's worth every penny you spend on it. So,
absolutely.
And it's no different for your book. You know, if there's one page out of your 300 pages that someone's going to, I guess, form, I don't know what the words I'm looking for, form a relationship with, they're going to read that one page and be like, all right, this is, I get this. This is what I need to do. Then it's worth every penny. And it's worth, I was looking, it's the Kindle book is under $20, the ebook. So
yeah,
it's not that expensive. And if you want the hard copy, even I think it was $40 or $45, it's still not that expensive. You know, I'm more of a hard copy book guy in general. For some reason I digest it better when I'm physically reading a hard copy. I don't know. Maybe because when I'm,
you're just old, Brian.
Maybe, but no, in all seriousness, when I have the book in my hand, my focus is on that book. You know, sure. If I'm reading it on my iPad, I have messages coming in and I have text coming in on my iPad and everything else going on and you get distracted, you know, your Safari button's right there. I can just hop on the internet or social media, Instagram. But when I sit on the couch with a book in my hand, it's pure focus. But
I hear you. I'm actually the same way. Yeah. I love print material. Yeah.
Anyway, so again, thank you for coming on. Before we close it out, I'm just going to say a quick final word from our friends at PhotoUp. Are you fed up with the inconsistency from your current editing company? PhotoUp is changing the way traditional outsourcing is done by allowing you to work directly with experienced editors on our team. Work one-on-one with a dedicated editor who will learn your style and preferences so you never have to worry about inconsistent edits ever again. Head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces to sign up for an account and test out 3 different editors for free. That's right. Upload 10 images to 3 different editors and you can choose the best editor and start working with them immediately. That's photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link in the on our Shooting Spaces website.
And not as easy. Always, I want to just throw in something here. Our sponsors are not just guys that throw us money to say things. We really believe in them and they have been with us this whole 4 years. So I want to put a big shout out to all our sponsors and thank them. So just bear with us and understand that we believe in the companies too. So they're just not out there in the stratosphere and we're just naming them indirectly or arbitrarily. So yeah. Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Thanks for having me.
Special to me because again, we go back way, way far and we both have a surfing, different types of surfing, but surfing love. And you never told people, man, you were a forecaster for Surf Magazine.
I forgot about that. We spoke about that in depth in our first episode, I think. Yeah. And I didn't even remember that. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was another side gig, another part of my life at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Well, what we should have done this originally. Sorry, Rich. But we forgot. Why don't you just give people a way to find you, whether it's your website, social medias, your YouTube channel, obviously.
Absolutely too. So I've got a very bizarre old Scottish name. It's Cool, COOL, just like the weather. It's probably misspelled by ancestors that were illiterate at one point in my past. But anyways, it's Nathan Cool. You can go to nathancool.com or nathancoolphoto.com. You can Google me. I'm come up. But all my books, links to my videos, all that stuff is out there on my website. And I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook and Instagram. Nathan Cool on Instagram, Nathan Cool Photo on Facebook.
Cool. I will post links to all the different spots you're in, awesome. As well as your new book.
Thanks.
In the show notes.
Cool.
Cool. And with that, great. Thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure. Hopefully it's less than 4 years till we chat again next time. But
thanks for having me. I had a blast, guys.
If Rich and I are still around another 4 years to have you again, we'll be glad to have you on.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah. And I want to say, you know, another shout out to us though, for our new courses. We have commercial real estate photography with Brian Berkowitz and residential real estate photography with Rich Baum. And again, the theme, I guess, of this whole podcast was education. And if you pick up one thing, as Brian said, from whatever we're selling or whatever we're putting out there, we believe in what we're doing. We're not just doing it for the money. We're just doing it because it's what we do. And I want to say that if you pick up one thing, the amount of money to get a book, a Kindle, electronic book, or a course, whatever you're getting, or somebody else's course, it is small potatoes as far as money for the amount that you can recoup it in one or two shoots. So really think about education. And again, not necessarily from us three, but any education you can is well worth it. It's not only buying gear and electrics and things like that. It is learning how to get better. And the bottom line is be successful.
Well, that's the thing when you compare it, Rich, to like gear, for instance, because people don't hesitate to jump out and buy a lens for $1,000. It's like they just jump on it. Oh, I need a 24 millimeter tilt shift. All right, $1,500. Here you go. And they don't know what to do with it. And they're still not good photographers, but you can spend, you know, a quarter of that price and, you know, Rich, learn your entire work, 6 hours of Rich Baum education, and you're going to get so much more out of it for more than a quarter of the price than just jumping out and getting the hottest new lens. So I'm not telling people not to go out and buy equipment because we're all gearheads, obviously. But, you know, there's a lot more return on investment in education in general, not just what we're doing, but what you're doing, Nathan, and everyone else, than going out and buying some gear. So,
and Nathan, as you had mentioned, man, for what we do, real estate photography, I'm using those air quotes, people that aren't watching me. You don't need certain parameters in, you don't need super ballistic high ISO performance. You don't need super expensive lenses. I show that you can do it for a $400 investment. You can be successful because that's what I shoot 80% of the time. But, you know what? The education thing is really money well spent. Anyway, we've gone enough on there. But listen, also remember that we've got Ask the Guys. Everybody out there, I urge you, please, for me, for Nathan, for Rich, for Brian, just contact shootingspaces.net or shootingspacespodcast.com and go there and do your little 90-second little question there. You can plug your business, get the question out there for everybody, and we're going to have somebody on to answer it, or Brian and I will answer it, but it's a really great thing. So please go out there and use that functionality, the Ask the Guys on the Shooting Spaces platform.
Yeah. Sure. And I know, Rich, this is going to be the last episode releasing in 2021. So I guess I'll speak on behalf of both of us by wishing all our listeners a happy and the best new year and the best 2022. We hope that everybody, first of all, plans their goals. And then once they plan them, they reach their goals, because that's how we all get better and improve and make our businesses stronger.
And as I said in 2019, 2020 is going to rock. Well, what happened there? But it is going to be a great year. And you know what? We came through COVID unbelievably well, in my opinion. And 2022 is going to be an awesome year. And so go out there and for Christmas, go get, send a, if your husband is a photographer, your wife is a photographer, go get the ebook for them or go get our courses or things like that. Because the education is a great thing to take with you on vacation or family trips when you can't take any more of your family, sit down to a book or watch a video. And last but not least, I want to say thank you. And as you're reading all this information, be sure, don't forget, just learn about it, but then go out and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.